Okay, tonight we're in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm not going to really expound on the verse tonight because we're going to be looking at it in depth in a few weeks in the morning service. But this is one of the best verses in the Bible to help us with what we're looking at here tonight. So I wanted to use this verse. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 12. 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. All right, the first of it again, he says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. As Christians, any Christian can be a witness for Christ. All right? Doesn't matter whether you've been saved for 1 hour, 1 year, or 50 years. Any Christian can be a witness for Christ. And we can tell others of what Christ has done for us. If the Lord saved you, giving you eternal life, you know what happened when that happened. And you can tell others of what happened. You may not be able to put it in all fancy words, but last week we talked about the message of the gospel, the message that we need to share and when we're witnessing to others. And tonight we're going to talk about the messenger. We're going to talk about us. All right? And one of the things that always hinders a Christian's witness is sin. Sin will always hinder our witness. And notice that the Holy Spirit had Peter write down to these believers. He said to them, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Now, our conversation is our way of life or our conduct. All right? So he says that our conduct or our way of life is to be honest. Now, the word honest there is a lot of different meanings, but they're all around the same thought. And it has to do with being honorable. All right? So he says, make sure your way of life or your conduct is honorable among the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles was talking about the unbelievers. All right? It was just another term that the Gentiles obviously refers to non-Jews, but in the context, he's speaking of the unbelievers that were around them, especially because you remember where Peter's audience was. Remember, they were in the northern part of Turkey. All right, they're hiding away in the northern part of Turkey. They've been scattered, run away from persecution, and they're in an area where there weren't a lot of Jews there. So when he says there, have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, he's talking about honest or upright or honorable. Make sure your way of life is honorable among all those unbelievers that are around you. Now, this is a good reminder for us as Christians that God wants us, if we're going to have an effective witness for Christ, he wants us to have an honorable conduct among the unbelievers that we're around. If our conduct is not honorable, then we are going to dishonor the Lord and we're going to hinder those that are listening to the gospel. All right? We need to be honorable among them. We need to have a way of being honorable among them. Now, let's listen up. I want to show you some things here tonight that can help us. Three different areas of our lives that must be honorable. Number one, we must have an honorable conduct physically. Honorable conduct physically. The first two points here are not taken strictly from Scripture here, but the principles are there to help us. We need to have an honorable conduct physically. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when you're talking to somebody, it doesn't matter whether you go up to their door and you knock on their door. You know, you walk up there and knock on their door, and they open the door, and here's this slob standing there with his, you know, shirt, tail hanging out, and kind of looked like his hair not combed. He says, "Hi, I'm here to tell you about Jesus." What are they going to think? They think, "This guy's a weirdo. Shut the door in your face. Go away." All right? But if we need to make sure physically we look nice when we're talking to people. It doesn't matter whether you're knocking on the door, or whether you're talking to the neighbor, or whether you're witnessing to the guy at work, or wherever it is, we should look appropriate. And I realize that the guy at work, you know, if you're working in digging ditches and you're sweaty and dirty and smelly because you're all out there hard working, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, I can't witness to the guys at work because I always smell and I look grubby. No, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about on a general setting, we need to make sure that we look appropriate. We need to look nice when we're talking to people. Make sure we're clean. Make sure we're neat. Comb your hair. Especially if you're going out, particularly talk to somebody. And we need to make sure we look appropriate. Even, you know, this is true even when you go to the shops. And I think most of us, and most of the stuff we're talking about here are things that we already do, but it's good reminders. You know, when you go to the shops, and you might have an opportunity to witness. You stick some tracks in your pocket and you're looking for an opportunity to witness. But if our hair's all messed up and we're dirty and we just look a mess, well, it's going to make it a little bit harder to try to witness to somebody. All right? So we need to keep that in mind to look nice, no matter where it is the situation is. And then men, unless you're growing a beard, it's always good to keep shaven. You look a lot neater that way. And if you're growing a beard, that's fine. But if you're not growing a beard, your testimony is going to be a lot better if we look sharp and look nice in that. Now, then also, we need to work at keeping our weight under control. All of these are things that are just basic things of life that will help us to be able to be a better testimony for the Lord. Then dress like a godly Christian. You know, never dress immodestly or inappropriately, in a sensual way. You know, you ladies, if you're trying to be a witness for the Lord, make sure that the clothes you have on are not going to draw attention to you in a wrong way. That's not going to help your testimony. It's certainly not going to please the Lord. And so we need to be careful about that. And remember that we're always representing our holy God. And a very important thing. Now, here's another thing that sometimes, you know, we think, oh, this is kind of basic, but it is important. We need to make sure not only that we, our physical conduct, we look nice, but also that we smell pleasant. All right? You need to smell pleasant. You know, you ever talk to somebody that when you got near them, their breath was so bad, you both had to turn your head or you'd choke. Well, that's not what we want. When you're trying to tell somebody about the Lord and they look away because they can't stand the smell of your breath, that's not a real helpful thing when you're trying to witness to them. So try to keep on top of that, and sometimes it's a struggle. You know, one of the things that I have found I'm not holding myself up as a perfect example in this area because sometimes probably my breath isn't the best. But if you drink enough water, it helps immensely. Just something as simple as that. Many people that have bad breath, the reason they have bad breath isn't necessarily because they didn't brush their teeth. It's because they haven't been drinking water. And your body is pouring out the toxins from your system because you haven't drank enough water. Everybody should drink a couple of liters of water a day. And if you don't drink a couple of liters of water a day, that's probably why you struggle with that. At least it's not going to help any. So keep that in mind, and that'll be a help to you. And then also, body odors offend. You know, make sure you take a bath, wear your deodorant, and, you know, wash your clothes once a month. And, you know, so that you don't smell when you're near somebody. It's not going to help your testimony if you're trying to talk to them about the Lord, and they say, something stinks around here, what is it? Oh, sorry, it's just me. That's not going to help your testimony, all right? So we need to be careful about that. And another thing that's on the opposite extreme that to me is just as offensive is don't wear a whole bath of perfume. All right, if you ladies like perfume, perfume's fine. But just don't take a bath in it. You know, and because, you know, when you're around somebody that you go, you know, even like when I'm on my walk, sometimes I'm on my walk and here comes some woman on her walk and she goes by and I go, just walking by, I'm a choke. I thought, how can she stand herself? You know, I don't know. But anyway, sometimes people do that, and that's not going to help matters either. But I'm not suggesting that perfume is bad. Just moderation is a good thing to do. A drop will go a long way. And so these are some basic things, some practical things. Make sure that our physical conduct is honorable. All right, so physically that we are honorable in our conduct. And then number two, we need to be honorable, have honorable conduct socially. We need to be friendly. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So if you're going to have friends, God said you got to be friendly. Now this is something that all of us need to work on a regular basis. You know, one of the things that we need to really, really, as a church, we need to work on is being friendly. You know, one of the things that saddens my heart is when I see people on Sunday mornings that maybe are visiting or haven't come very often, and they're kind of standing off by themselves with nobody to talk to. And all of our regular people are all chit-chatting with all their friends, and the others are just kind of standing off. That's not good. That's not good. Many times people will not even come back. They'll just say, oh, they weren't friendly. I felt so out of place. You ever gone to some place where you were the person that didn't know anybody? And if nobody came to you and started chatting with you or talking with you, you just feel like kind of a fish on the shore, you know, out of the water. And you just, oh, I didn't, that was so uncomfortable. I didn't like that at all. I want to leave. It's like going to somebody else's reunion. You never go to somebody else's family reunion. Family reunions can be a lot of fun when you're with your family and cousins and friends and relatives. But if you go to somebody else's and you don't know anybody there, you think, what am I doing here? This is terrible. I don't like this at all. All right? And we need to be friendly. So work at being friendly. And, you know, it takes effort to do that. I mean, it's a whole lot easier. And I'll be the first to admit, it's a whole lot easier to go talk to a friend about something you enjoy than to force yourself to walk up to somebody you don't even know and just start talking. You can start talking about the weather, first of all, if you want to. It'll break the ice a little bit and open it up. But, I mean, just talk about something. Maybe after the service you can say, and you know, say something about the message or glad you're here today. And why, you know, what kind of work do you do? Or, you know, just ask them any kind of questions, but try to get talking with them. But we need to be friendly. And to do that, several things we need to work on. And I'll tell you some of my faults here, so that, you know, it's probably not any surprise to you. You probably say, oh, yeah, that's right. But my wife is always telling me, smile, you look grumpy. And my dad was, I guess I got too much of my dad's personality when it comes to that, because when I was a little boy, my friends used to say, is your dad mean? I says, no, why? He always looks mean, you know. And that's probably what people might probably ask my boys, you're dead mean. I don't. But, you know, there's too much of a tendency to be sober-faced. And we need to smile. I need to smile. This is one I got to really work on. Smile more, because it is showing that, you know, we've got the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Talk to people in the shops. When you meet people, maybe you're standing in line, try to talk to them. I mean, sometimes it doesn't work, but sometimes you can. Just to be friendly. It may not ever come to the place where you've actually had an opportunity to witness to them, but even if you're just friendly, you know, you meet somebody and just say, you know, just chat with them. A few weeks ago, I was at Bunnings and I was looking for some garden seeds, and there was a lady there. She was looking through some stuff, and I could see what she was looking at. And so I just asked her. I said, you know, are you looking for whatever it was? I forget what it was. And she said, yeah, I have a hard time finding it. And so we started chatting, and I talked to her for probably 10 minutes about garden type things and just. But, you know, you look for openings like that. I believe I was able to give her a track when I left. But, you know, just chatting with people, talking with people, it's a good thing to do, even if you don't know them. Visit with your neighbors. You know, that's, you know, if you've been in a place very long, visiting with your neighbors isn't as easy as it sounds. You know, because you see them, they see you, and kind of wave your hand at them, and that's all you ever see of the neighbors anymore, because when you first move in, you go see who they are and say hi to them. But then once they know who you are and you know who they are, then it seems like you never cross the paths. But that's something we need to work on as well. Greeting people when you're on a walk, whether you're on the footpath or out in the park or wherever, you know, just greet people. Be friendly. You know, it's amazing how many people, I'm walking down, taking my walk in the morning. Here comes a group of people. I say, good morning. They look at me like, who are you? We're not going to say hi to you. You know, they're very unfriendly. And then you'll come across somebody else and say, hi, good morning. Oh, good morning, good morning. You know, so friendly. And that's what we need to be. Even if other people grump at us, we can be friendly toward them. Just be friendly. Just say, hi, good morning, how you doing? Cold morning today, keep it warm. You know, whatever, you know, what? Just have a nice chat with them. And get to know people. It goes a long way. And then treat people like you want to be treated. You know, that's the big key. Treat people how you want to be treated. You know, when we go back to this illustration of being friendly in church, if you were the first time here, how would you like to be treated on your first day in a new church? Well, you'd like somebody to come up to you and say, hi, who are you? My name is, you know, what you do, where you live, you know, thanks for coming to the service, you know, and just get to know you a little bit. You'd like that. And so that's what we need to do. We need to be friendly and do that and look for opportunities to be that way. Make sure we're polite. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12 says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We've paraphrased that to say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's a good thing to remember. God wants us to do to others like we want them to do to us. We need to be polite. We need to be kind. And when we're sharing the gospel, we need to be tactful. You know, when you walk up to the door and they come to the door and say, hi, I'm from the Baptist church. I'm telling people that, you know, that you need to go to heaven because if you don't go to heaven, you're going to go to hell. Well, that might be true, but that's probably not the best approach. All right. Be tactful. Be pleasant. Be friendly. When the boys and I go out, we often, my typical approach, and I'm not saying mine's the right one, but I've tried a lot of different things. I've tried everything I can think of. But usually I'll just take the track in my hand and I said, you know, I'm from the Northside Baptist Church. Got a little paper here from our church. We're just passing out. I wonder if I could leave one with you. And as soon as they hear church, sometimes people go, not interested. Or others, they'll say, well, okay. And they'll take it and they start backing up and shutting the door. Others will take it and say, oh, what church was that? And then I start talking. As soon as they give you a little bit of an opening or an opportunity, start talking. Ask them some questions. Do you go to church at all? You thought much about spiritual things? Just any kind of question to get them to talk a little bit. And maybe they'll open up. Others will think, oh, this guy's trying to be pushy and he's acting like one of the Jehovah's Witnesses. So I'm going to shut the door on him because I don't want to talk to him. But other people will open up and talk. And so look for little ways of opportunities, but be polite, be tactful, never be rude. And it's a good idea not to argue with people. You know, the only time I have trouble with not arguing is when I'm with a Jehovah's Witness. And then I struggle with that. And I know that I'm not saying that's good. I'm telling you that's one of my vices. I usually start talking to them calmly, and then before long, they start defending themselves, and so I defend myself, and we end up with a bit of an argument. And not, you know, throwing sticks at each other, but it's better not to get in an argument with people because you don't win them to Christ by arguing them into the truth of the gospel. They just need to see what the Bible says. Just take them back to the Bible, stick with the Bible, and show them what the Bible says and be a testimony in that way. And if you have an appointment with somebody, maybe you've set up to meet with, I don't know, your neighbor or a friend, somebody you met, and said, oh, let's get together and, you know, I want to just have a chat with you. Well, if you set up an appointment, be on time. Be on time. Don't be late. That's very, very inappropriate to not keep your appointments like that. So we need to have honorable conduct socially. So it needs to be honorable conduct, first of all, physically. Make sure you look right, smell right, and are appropriate. Then we need to have honorable conduct socially in our conduct and our correspondence with people. And then thirdly, we need to have honorable conduct spiritually. Now, there's lots that we could say about this, and we certainly are not going to exhaust this tonight, but I want to give you some ideas here that can be of help to us. Number one, we need to make sure we're right with God. We need to be right with God. Now, as a boy growing up on the farm, one of the jobs that Dad often gave my brother and I, my brother Doug was about a year and a half younger than me, and Doug and I would have to make sure every day that the electric fence that went around our farm to keep the cattle in was hot. So every day when we went back to feed the cattle, there was a wire there next to the post, and we would take that wire and touch it over to the fence and go snap, 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 snap. And you say, yep, it's hot. All right? And if we ever did that and it didn't snap, we looked at each other, oh boy, we've got to find out what happened to the fence. The fence has got a short in it. And so we'd start walking. And we'd walk all the way around the farm. We had a 40-acre farm. We'd walk all the way around the farm watching the wires. We were walking along, watching the wire all the way along. And sure enough, we'd find a stick laying on it, or we'd find an old wire that had flopped up against it, or maybe a branch of the tree fell out and landed on it, and it touched the ground and grounded it out, and so it couldn't spark anymore because it was shorted. And you know, that is the way it is with us as Christians. There's all kinds of little branches and twigs and wires and sticks in life that get into our lives in the way of sin and short out our contact with God. And you know, if we do not have God's power, we are not going to be able to win people to the Lord. We've got to have God's power. We are desperately in need of God's power in order to be able to win people to Christ. So we need to be right with God. That's the very foundation spiritually. We need to be right with God. And it starts by making sure we've got no unconfessed sin. We all sin. We all struggle. But unconfessed sin, whether it be big or small, will short out our spirituality. And we won't be what God wants us to be. We'll lose God's power. And so we need to keep those unconfessed sins confessed. Now, when is the best time to confess your sins? Straight away. As soon as you've done wrong and the Spirit of God said, that was not right, then you say, God, you're right. I'm sorry. That was not right. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have looked at that. I shouldn't have gone there. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Get it right away. Don't put it off. Now, another thing that's wise to do is each morning when you're having time alone with the Lord is to just ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything that I've done in the last 24 hours that displeased you? And if there is, would you please bring it back to my mind so that I can confess it? And I've been amazed many times when the Lord has brought back something that I didn't even think about, usually something I said or did, the Lord brings back to my mind and said, oh yeah, that wasn't the best, was it? And then I have to go get it right, maybe give somebody a phone call, or usually it's my wife, and go tell her I'm sorry, or I did, you know, just whatever it is, get it right, and then I come back and finish praying and spending time with God. So it's important to do both. When you know you've done wrong, get it right away. And if you didn't know you did wrong or didn't click that you did, then spend time each morning with the Lord and make sure you go over your heart. And as the psalmist said in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way and lead me in the way everlasting. And so he was searching his heart and asking God to search his heart. And then Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. So God said, if we cover up our sin, there's no mercy for that. God is not going to, it's not going to solve the problem. You know, if my brother and I are walking along, we find a piece of wire laying over on our fence. And we say, well, yep, there it is. That's the problem. And we get a big, you know, sheet of plastic and cover it up so we can't see it. So I got to take care of the problem. You got to get rid of it. Got to fix it. Got to take it off the fence. And the same thing in our life. You know, when you know God points out something in your life that's not right, you got to get rid of it. You got to take care of it. You can't just cover it up. And it won't fix the problem. And then we need to be obedient to God in every known way. You know, in order to be right with God, we need to be obedient in every known way. So if you know something in your life that God has spoken your heart about, and you know you need to do it, but you just keep making excuses, there's no power with God because you're disobeying God. James 4:17 is a good verse to memorize. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17. So he says, if you know something you're supposed to do and you refuse to do it, you have sinned against God. And those kind of things will keep us away from what we ought to be. It may be baptism, membership, separation from sin, living a godly life, given to the Lord. It could be a numerous number of things that you know down in your heart, I need to do that, but I'm not ready yet. Well, that's not right. You need to get right with God. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we need to be doers, not just hearers, and doing what God asks us. And then the second way in which we need to be honorable spiritually, the first was to be right with God. The second one is to be surrendered to God. It goes hand in hand with it, but a little bit differently. To be yielded to God's will. We need to ask God to use us. So just say, Lord, I will do anything you want me to do. I will be what you want me to be. Lord, use me today. And yield ourselves to him. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield to your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so we need to have a desire to please the Lord instead of pleasing ourselves. Selfishness is an enemy of surrender. All right? Selfishness is an enemy of surrender. Now, we need to also have a godly attitude. You know, if we're going to be a faithful witness for the Lord, witnessing is not a dreadful duty. Witnessing is a privilege to speak for Christ. And it depends on how you look at it. You say, oh, got to be a witness today. Better stick some tracts in my pocket. I got to try to tell somebody about Jesus. Or you look at it and say, Lord, please, lead me to somebody that I can share the gospel with today because I want to. That ought to be our attitude. We need to have a right attitude about it. It'll make a big difference. So we need to have a surrendered, be surrendered to God. Number three, we need to be in fellowship with God. Fellowshipping with God. Now, to be right with God and fellowshipping with God are very, very similar. Again, all of these are kind of in the same plane. But here, I'm thinking more of our daily quiet time studying the Bible. You know, you will never be an effective witness for the Lord if you don't read your Bible on a regular basis. You just won't be. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Jeremiah 23:29. So God, His word is powerful. We need to have daily time in the Bible. And then we also need to have daily quality time in prayer. You know, not just a quick, you know, Lord, take care of me today. I've got a busy day. See you later. Amen. No, quality time talking to God. Talking to Him about your needs, your burdens, but also talking to Him about the lost, praying for the lost. Luke 18:1 says, and Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now that doesn't mean pass out, it means to quit. Alright, men ought always to pray and not to quit. They need to keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying for your unsaved relatives and unsaved friends and unsaved workmates and pray. A.W. Tozer once said, to desire revival and at the same time to neglect personal prayer and devotions is to wish one way and to walk another. He said, if we don't have a personal time with God in prayer and devotions, reading the Bible, we're wishing one way and walking another. We're saying, I sure wish I could win people to the Lord, and then we're walking the opposite direction. He said, it won't work. And that is so true. Then, number four, we need to be empowered by God. To be spiritually, our conduct right, we need to be empowered by God. God, the Holy Spirit, gives Christians power to witness. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God said the power comes from the Holy Spirit of God. It's not in us. It's through God that we have the power. We've got to have God's power. And the Holy Spirit desires to fill us. Remember Ephesians 5:18? It's in the passive voice. He says there, be filled with the Spirit. Literally, the idea is allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit. And how do we allow ourselves? By getting sin out of our life. As we get the sin out of our life, it makes room for the Holy Spirit to come in. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to fill our life when there's sin in our life. That's why we talked a few moments ago about being right with God and making sure there's no shorts in our life. Make sure there's no sins that are shorting out the power with God. And because if there's sin in there, it is preventing the Spirit of God from filling us. He says, I can't fill you because you've got sin in your life. Get the sin out, then God can fill us with His power. And we need that power. And God only fills clean vessels. So true. He will only fill a clean vessel. Now, as we've learned on Wednesday night, when we get saved, we get all of the Holy Spirit we'll ever get. But the desire of the Holy Spirit is to get all of us. We've got all of Him, but a lot of times we hold back ourselves. He doesn't have all of us. And so we need to get rid of the sin, allow Him to fill us. And then, number five, we need to be a light for God. We need to be a light for God. If we're going to be spiritually right and be honorable in our spiritual conduct, We need to be a light for God. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God wants us to let our light shine. And we must choose to shine for the Lord. You got to choose that. Because if we don't choose to do it, we'll get lazy and we won't do it. We need to choose to shine for the Lord. Depend upon the Holy Spirit to speak out for the Lord, even when we're afraid. You know, fear is probably one of the greatest excuses for not witnessing. I think as I look at my life, fear is probably the greatest reason that I don't witness more. But we shouldn't be afraid. Because we have got the best news that anyone could hear. The good news that can keep people out of hell and get them into heaven. You can't get any better news than that. And yet we're afraid to share it because people don't like the news. But we need to remember, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. Psalm 56:3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. And we need to trust the Lord when we get feeling afraid. And we just need to remember that God knows our needs. He knows our hearts. And we can depend upon Him to help us. We need to make sure that our life agrees with what we say. You know, as we let our light shine, our life must agree with what we say. Because if we are trying to win someone to Christ, we're trying to tell them about the Lord, and they look at us and they think, "You hypocrite. I know you. You're no different than me. You listen to the same kind of music I listen to. You go to the same kind of places I go to. You do all the bad things I do. And now you're trying to tell me I'm a sinner and I need to get saved. You're a hypocrite." And they won't listen. But if our life is different, and they can see that our life has changed, then they'll listen more attentively. And we need to, you know, even in the shops, we need to be honest. You know, honesty will many times give you an opportunity to be a testimony. You know, sometimes people will give you wrong change at the when you're getting your groceries or whatever. You know, they may give you the wrong change. If you go back to them and say, "Excuse me, you gave me too much back." And, "Oh, sorry, thank you. And then you can say, "The reason, you know, that I did that is because I'm a Christian. Here's a little paper. Would you have a read of it when you get a chance?" Just a simple little opportunity. But we need to look for those kind of opportunities. Be honest. Be trustworthy. Be godly. Let your light shine for the Lord. And to be the testimony that God wants you to be. And then last, but certainly not least, we need to be burdened for the lost. We need to be burdened for the lost. Having a genuine burden for the lost is very important. It will keep us motivated when they are negative to the gospel. But you know, one of the things that will help us is if you will remember that this person you're talking to, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you would be where they are. Headed for hell, lost with no hope. The grace of God that saved you is the only difference between you and them. And they need what you have. And we need to look around us as you go shop to the shops and you walk down the street and you see people in the bus station or whatever it is. And you see people, ask God to help you to see them as they are. They are lost. They are headed for hell. I mean, when you go out into the crowd, a vast majority of them, and I'm no... You know, I can't see their hearts, but just from statistics, you can tell pretty clearly, you know, 90, 95%, maybe more than that, are unbelievers that don't want anything to do with God or don't know the Lord personally. They're lost. They need the Lord. And we need to see them as lost and remember that they're going to a real hell and care for their souls. We need to care for their souls. One last verse I want to share with you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse number 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 8 says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted to you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." Paul said to the Thessalonians, he said, "I was willing to give you my life. Because you're dear to me." And we need to have that kind of a passion for the lost and that kind of a desire to share the gospel with the lost. because we were once lost, headed for hell. And if it wasn't for the grace of God that saved our soul, we'd be still on our way to hell. And so, as you think about this tonight, the three ways that we need to be have honorable conduct. We need to have honorable conduct physically, smell right, look right. We need to have honorable conduct socially, where we're friendly, polite, kind. And we need to have honorable conduct spiritually, so we're right with God, no sin shorten out the fence. We're walking with the Lord, we're fellowshipping with the Lord, we're empowered by the Lord, we're a light for the Lord, and we have a burden for the lost that'll help us to reach out to the lost. And so this is just a message here to prepare us. Because, you know, if we don't prepare ourselves, then the things that we learn are not going to be able to be helpful to us. Because we've got to be prepared so that God can work through us. Because there's no way that I or anybody else can be an effective witness for the Lord without the power of God. We've got to have God's power. And if God's power is not on my life, and I try to witness to somebody else, it's not going to work. Now, God's word will not return void, and sometimes God works despite our evil and our ungodliness, and He will use His word in a person's life and maybe start them in the right direction. But the truth of the matter is, we got to have God's power. We need God's power.